Hello, today's sermon is lecture 4, 6th time of Genesis. We're covering chapter 12 to 13. Again, today's sermon covers chapter 12 to 13. The title of today's sermon is Those Who Follow God's Will. The Abraham, the second time of going to Abraham and his life. So from last week, we started to look into people who follow the will of God through the patriarchs from the 12th chapter following Jesus, the Genesis history, the patriarchs of Jews. We began to look at a life in faith. I firmly believe that the Bible contains God's heart. So through the Bible, through the story of God's history, we can learn who God is and how we can live by faith. There may be errors and mistakes in the Bible, which is a mistranslation and also misinterpretation of the times. It doesn't mean that the will of God is distorted or that there is nothing wrong with what God wants to speak to us. So the early works of Abraham and his early journey throughout his life, which we have summarized sort of last week. We cover again from chapter 12 here today. Abraham wasn't born in Ur of the Chaldeans. That was sort of an example of the mistake wrongly translated here in chapter 12. Abraham, again, was not born in Ur of the Chaldeans, but in the civilization of Evla, which is in the Bible, it says Haran, which is the same as the name of Abraham's brother, actually. But Haran is one of Shem's descendants, his sons. Anyway, he was born in Haran, where Terah, his Abraham's father, lived mainly throughout his life. His father Terah went to Ur of the Chaldeans in Abraham's childhood. After Abraham's brother Haran died there, with the providence of God, he took his family back to the area of Ebla, where Haran is. It's nowadays is the far east part of the Turkey, also the north east of the Syria. Please have a look at the map shown on the screen at the moment. So it's quite important to know, I presume everyone knows where Israel is, along the seashore of the far east side of the Mediterranean Sea. Also, we need to know where Haran is. Also, we need to know where the Ur of the Chaldeans, which is actually the origin of Mesopotamian civilization in early stage, the ancient history. Also, where it's quite close to where the Tower of Babel incident happened. So we need to know that the end of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, two rivers, there were the Mesopotamian civilization was quite prevailed a long time ago in ancient age. That's near where the Ur of Chaldeans. And also the Haran is all the way up near the starting point of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which is again the far east side of the Turkey nowadays, also the northeast side of Syria, sort of the boundary of those two countries. At the western side of the Nineveh in a biblical manner. So we need to link how the biblical history at that time, Abraham's life, also Terah's life, how it's linked to the secular history, archaeologically proven or at least existed around that time, because of course the history of the Bible is truth, also it should be matched to any secular history we learn if those are true. So about this move of Terah's hometown is again the Haran, but he actually obviously moved to Ur of Chaldeans. About this move of Terah, if you look at the integration of biblical literature and the history of the world, the secular world history, in the Mesopotamian region, the Guti of the north of Sumer destroyed the Akkadian Empire. So we're talking about the ancient secular history around the time Abraham and Terah lived. that Mesopotamian regions. Again, the Houthi of the north of Sumer destroyed the Akkadian Empire. The Akkadian Empire could be called the true unified empire at that time internationally in the Mesopotamian region, sort of the ruling power. But it was destroyed by the Houthi, the north of the Sumer they originated from. The king who overcame the Houthi was a man named Uzhagar, a ruler of Ur. At that time, Abraham was about 43 years old, and Abraham's age can be estimated to be about 54 years, about 10 years after, when Urbanu, who had killed that Uzhagar, and built his dynasty. Again, Uzhagar actually was the leader to destroy the Akkadian Empire, was the ruling power of the Mesopotamian region. Then another guy, Urbanu, he actually killed the Uzhagar and again built his dynasty there. They built the Ur dynasty there. So Abraham died at 175 years old, and Isaac was 60 years old when referring to Genesis chapter 25 and verse 26, when he gave birth to Esau and Jacob. The Abraham was about 160 years old, and his two grandkids were born. At this time, the Ur dynasty, through their three generations, was perished. So the historical background in which Torah left the Ur of the Chaldeans is the time of the Houthi. Now we try to link again the secular history, the archaeologically known, also the biblical history at that time. So again, the historical background in which Abraham's father left the Ur of the Chaldeans is the time of the Houthi. Approximately. So it is likely that it was the time of the Uzhagar's appearance, or the time of Urbanu's military coup to kill the Uzhagar. And then it was the time around the emergence of the Ur dynasty. So if the regimes are governing the city or the ruling power is changed in one city, if it changed frequently, of course, those who supported the regime are being actually thrown out or killed. So there is a cleaning up process. And often they lose their home grounds. In such a turbulent period, it can be seen that Terah and his family left the region of Ur of the Chaldeans at that time. Probably they can infer the house linked. What's the reason the Terah left the Ur of Chaldeans and then moved back to their original hometown, which is Haran? So it can be predicted that it eventually came back to Haran. Again, today is in the map, the far east of Turkey and the northeast of Syria. Still shown in the map at the moment on the screen. Please have a look to have a big picture of it. So since this time of the book of Bible, which is Genesis, from the chapter 12 onwards, it's all about talking about that geographical region. Again, you know, that map, it pretty much includes everything covered in Old Testament and New Testament. You know, on the Mesopotamian area, in Syria, Israel, including Egypt. Also the Turkey and European area where Roman Empire ruled during Apostles' timeline. So we can pretty much focus on the map of those areas in the map. You need to be familiar with it. And there Abraham, he heard God's call. He decided to carry his mission. God did not lead Abraham to a rich or a well-to-do land, a Mesopotamian area, for example, with the initiative of civilization, the Ur of Chaldean area. God did not lead Abraham to Egypt either, where is another rich country of Africa, very close to Israel, the land of Canaan. Indeed, God led Abraham to the land of Canaan, which he dreamed of and wanted to make God's future, even though that those areas looked it didn't look quite fertile, and indeed it was quite evil. So the first place Abraham arrived was in Shechem, the halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Again, the Shechem that Abraham arrived initially in the land of Canaan is halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. The Bible shows that from now on, the first thing Abraham did wherever he went, we will know that he built an altar and worshipped God. So Abraham settled in Shechem. Also, he moved among different areas, including the Bethel, the Hebron, and the Beersheba. Shechem, Bethel, and Hebron, and Beersheba. So wherever he went, it is said that in the Bible, he always built the first step to God. It is a worship service, if it is the same nowadays, that you have built an altar. The worship is the gathering of those who believe in God's presence in the name of the Lord, in front of His living presence. It is worship to acknowledge who God is, and God is alive, the living God, and having relationship with us, and acknowledging that He is the Lord of the land on which we dwell in. So wherever I go, I confess that God lives in this place where I am moving and wherever is with me. If all those who are together and proclaim before people around me, so we won't, will not live a life of sinning and following lust and greed, our sinful nature, if we keep having relationship with God, that is, keep having the worshiping, also having a service, trying to read the Word of God. Indeed, it's quite equivalent at that time to Abraham built an altar, specifically written on those scriptures covering Abraham's life. So that was the way, indeed, Abraham had a very faithful relationship and maintained it with God all the time throughout his life. I once chose to go that way, not to have a personal or faithful relationship with God, but I lived a life of sinning and following my own thoughts, also my lust and greed, according to my sinful nature. It is because I didn't know our Lord well enough, didn't fully appreciate His crying heart, His great amazing love shown to me. If you are with a faithful and trustworthy relationship with God, it is the living, the pleasure of God's presence. If you don't do so, it is living the pleasure of the world. Abraham became God's servant and the great example of the faithful guys when he became when he became acknowledged as a worshiper of God, even in the danger of his own life. That's why God had seen and guardian to take responsibility for Abraham. On the contrary, it is Cain, Adam's first son, that failure in worship. Insensitivity to the existence of God, even though God spoke to him directly, and he had failure of his life, holy life. Though God has revealed himself to Cain in person, because Cain ignored the word of God, his voice, he went to the way of the murderer who killed his brother. Everywhere, whenever Abraham moved, he showed a good example of how to live a faithful life, how to maintain a trustworthy relationship with God. First of all, I confess the sovereignty of God, and I proclaim to the people around me that I'm a child of God and holy worshiper. And God said, I want you to be the first to build an altar of holy worship. That's what Abraham did. Just after moving on to a new place, you know, if we move to a new place, if we start new business, some people may ask their gods and idols not to have any problems in the future. Somebody may say, I'm going to put my heads in the pig head and to get what we want. It's not a real form of worship that supersedes the real form of worshiping our own God. This house is under the sovereignty of God, and I'm the child of God. So we are the children of God under God's control and under His presence. So let's make a confession that this house is the house of God, and it doesn't matter our own house, in the workplace, in a new relationship with a new people and everything. Be aware of God's people and live like God's people. That's the definition of being a Christian, the believer of our Christ, and have a faithful relationship with Him on our daily life. That's what the Bible says when mentioning about Abraham's life. So having a relationship with God, these things, the father, as a father or as a member of family, we have to put our family all together. It would be ideal if we do the worship, if we invite people around us, our friends, anyone on our living boundary. We can invite them, we can worship together before God. And we can proclaim that our family, this family belong to God. So lead to proclaiming that they are people who live according to the will of God. So the worship is to be the people's confession of the holy God who acknowledges God's sovereignty. It's better not to invite our neighbors only to eat, drink, and play, and invite them. We can invite them to worship together or show them our identity. Okay, going back to Abraham's the journey. Abraham, he was initially settled in Shechem. The first arrived in the land of Canaan when he did. And wherever he went, he built an altar to God, worshipped Him, and always lived under the rule of the Lord. And when he came to Shechem, he built an altar of God, and behold, the Canaanites lived there. So he moved there to the ground between Bethel and a little further south from the Shechem, and the settlement began in what is usually called, till then in the Bible, that area is called Bethel, where Abraham settled, moving from the Shechem. Again, he built an altar there and worshipped God. The God of Bethel originated from what Abraham did. Building an altar to worship Him, to proclaim that land belongs to God. Also, I am led by God to be there according to the will of God. Again, everywhere we can be like Him. Everywhere we go, we can declare we are the one who is guided by God. I would like to preach such confessions and proclamations, so that we can live a distinct life, quite different from secular people, they're so-called holy, without compromising on the culture and religion of this world. Living as a Christian is like a spiritual coming out to walk the path of faith without compromising according to worldly secular values. When God called Abraham like this, his age was 75. He was 75 years old. But nowadays, it's considered the retired age, or to be retired. Abraham died, passed away when he was 175 years old. He lived another 100 years since he was called when he was 75 years old. Imagine when we are 70 to 80 years old, we may be preparing for the end in a quiet place in our hometowns. By the time this year is over, we may think we're getting close to death. So may not tend to listen to other people's advice. Through Abraham, his many experiences in life, his stubbornness was surely in our present there. It was not the age when a good person would say swing by. However, Abraham answered immediately at once when God called him. How can this obedience be possible? That's the question. please have a look at the symbol, the screenshot of our mobile phone nowadays. If God calls us, can we immediately respond to it? Can we press the green button to delightfully answer, to listen to His voice? Or do we keep constantly pressing the red button to reject or to decline the calls from God? We may say once, yes, we listen to His voice because of our temper or the short memory. And it is because Abraham has lived a life that always willing to listen, actually indeed listen to God's voice since he was very young. God is the one who speaks with people who want to know God's will and living according to God's values. Who is blocking the ears, pressing the red button to decline his call. Or if, even without looking at the call or looking at it. Or the missed call from God. If you live according to your self-determinations rather than your promise made with God, even though many Christians do so, nobody can talk to that person. God allows us to have 100% free will. If you decide to decline the call, we can do that. It is like being unable to accompany them together. Because God is personally involved with people, if a person does not listen to God's slanderous appeal on call, he pretends not to care and does not care at all, God cannot even talk to such people. All of us, with no exclusion, we live with the world's, inside the world's culture, a handful of it, and the way of life of the world. We belong part of it. We are part of the life of the world. Unless we proclaim to be a Christian, to live Christian's life. Imagine at some point something is twisted, you have a suffering and hardship we're going through. Only then in the last moment we may come to God and say, if God speaks, we will live. I will listen to your voice. Come on, God. If you speak to me now, I will live according to your will. Under such desperation, we may seek God. That's what happens when we don't have a good relationship, faithful relationship with God in our daily life. We may miss His call. If the relationship with God is not in trust, we may be able to listen to it, but always live according to what is right, according to our thoughts. Let's have a look at the relationship of Abraham with God. God told him to leave his father-in-law's home, and he immediately acted on it. I can think that there was such a deep relationship between the two, between God and Abraham. Without it, it couldn't happen. God, Abraham had a full trust with God, so he was always sensitive to listen to his voice. So always in the relationship, the trust is the first. If there's no trust, we cannot even communicate. We cannot fully appreciate their thoughts and their heart and their intention. Abraham had a living elderly father who was 145 years old when he got called by God. Behind all such circumstances and hard situations, the fact is that he came out of his comfort zone. That he was so willing to follow God's guidance, at least the life of Abraham. He didn't even know where he's going to go. Abraham said, my life hears God's voice. He said, I will live according to the value that God has spoken in any circumstance and environment. So Abraham was so obedient to follow the values of such a holy word. The faith is not about questioning how to move God. It is more a matter of attitude to respond to the word of God by trusting Him. Again, having good relationship or getting to know each other, the bottom line is a trust. Have a faith in a person. So again, the faith is more a matter of attitude to respond to God's word by fully trusting Him. So that attitude Abraham used in life, in daily life, which had the attitude to go along with the value of the word of God in any circumstance and environment, and day after day. So therefore God made him a model of faith, an ancestor of faith. It is repeatedly written or mentioned in the Bible across different timelines. So God introduced Abraham's life in this way in the Bible. So to all the people of faith, whoever read the Bible, God expects and gives us the faith, what kind of faith should we have. He wanted to show the model of faith through Abraham's life. What is it like to live by faith? Well, we can learn from Abraham's life when you read this part of the Bible. So according to the, for example, the Hebrew chapter 11, also throughout his Abraham's life details in this part of the book of Genesis, Abraham not necessarily always believed what he could see, but he believed what he couldn't see at all if he was spoken by God. So he could believe what he didn't see, but he believed according to his hope, which is based on what God specifically told him. He just fully believed what God said to him. He'll be an ancestor, and your descendants will be countless, like the sands in the beach and stars in the sky. It didn't happen until he got really old, until he and his wife Sarah couldn't physically bear a child. And throughout the Bible, those who responded at once when God called them, it is always those who have been interested in God's will in their lives. Sometimes like Jacob or Saul, the Paul, who was the previous name, Saul, before he got called. So Jacob and Paul's early life, even if it is wrong eagerness, a passion, misunderstanding, and wrongdoing, they wanted to follow God's will. Through those who want to stand in that way, God could talk and accompany them by correcting, intervening their lives. As he continued to say, those who are unresponsive at all when God calls have no way of communicating with him. But not a perfect example, as I mentioned, like Jacob and then Paul's early life before he got called. Especially looking at Jacob, he was so demanding and also had to argue with God and his angels. And he annoyed God, also he got annoyed. But at least they had a communication, even if someone grumbled, like Jonah, with what God has done. Now Jonah complained to God, and he told God he didn't want to do what God asked him to do. He wanted to disobey, but he had a communication with God. Like those in unideal situations, to those who responded to something that God called, and God's call, and God's speech, and His voice, those are the people God wanted could use. When God persuaded Jacob or Jonah, for example, in the example of Jonah's story, when God persuaded him, Jonah was angry and asked back why I had to help those who destroyed my families, my country. But at least again, Jonah could talk with God, and God approached to him to comfort him. It showed Jonah walked along the same path as where Abraham went through. accompanying God throughout their lives. The same as Jacob, even though he wasn't perfect, he indeed acknowledged God's presence, even though he had deceived so many people, even though as a consequence he had a very hard life. Let's go back to Abraham's life a little bit further. Before, whoever listened to God's voice and used to carry God's mission, it's obedience. Doesn't matter whether it's obedience, full obedience, or a bit of irritation. Those were the people who communicated with God, and who responded eventually, and led him to the place of the master of faith. Peter did, Andrew and John, James, and Matthew, they were all the same. Not when Jesus called out to those who are indifferent or outcast. Someone may have doubted when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. But all of his disciples did indeed believe it unconditionally. The same way nowadays, we need to respond to his call. The Holy Spirit, he is persuasive. And we need to open our heart to listen to the word of God and his voice. So Abraham was a man who responded to God's call. God told Abraham to go to the unknown land. So he did, with his pure faith. So when Abraham was called for the first time, he didn't know at all why God wanted to send himself away to such a remote place. Abraham had no idea. But he took the action immediately. Abraham did not ask about the call. God went out by faith because God said, go. Why is this possible? It is purely because he had such a great faith in God, had a full trust in whatever he said to Abraham himself. If you really trust someone, sometimes even if a person asks for something without saying why, you're most likely to be willing to trust him and do what they asked. So Abraham clearly knew the faithfulness and kindness, his perfection. So let's trust first. The faith is first before we do something. So we may often say, I try to make a condition or contract with God. If you love me, give me this. Do make this miracle, or don't let me go through this hardship, and I'll trust in you. When you look at Abraham's life, it wasn't like that. Abraham believed and trusted first, and indeed acted on what God asked him to do. So Abraham, who came to Canaan by trusting God, who lived a life of faith, soon afterwards a famine came to the land of Canaan, where Abraham settled. And Abraham went to Egypt for a little while. It is clearly written in chapter 12 and verse 10. When Abraham was 75 years old, he came to Canaan. And the time was calculated by the Bible, it looks like 2090 BC. It seems that a famine described in the chapter 12 has come soon after that Abraham has settled, come to Canaan. At that time, Egypt was the end of first Middle Ages. According to Egyptian history, started from 2200, finished 2040 BC, after the High Kingdom. Perhaps Abraham seems to have gone to Egypt during the 10th dynasty. But Abraham's wife Sarai had a beautiful appearance according to chapter 12. To the Egyptian authorities, Abraham thought they would die. He would die if Abraham. He thought that he would die if he told them, the Egyptian authorities, Sarah is his wife. So Abraham told them, Sarah is my sister. Indeed, Sarah was the half-sister of Abraham. So at that time, what we don't know is the standard of beauty at that time. Because Abraham's wife Sarah was about 65 to 70 years old. Nevertheless, it is because Abraham loved Sarah too much. We can see in another the perspective why Abraham did that. Yeah, when you look at Genesis chapter 20, when Abraham was 99 years old, Sarah's age was 89. This doesn't make sense if the Egyptian the authorities try to get Abraham's wife Sarah as one of his concubines because of her beauty. She was such an old lady at that time. It would be a better interpretation to see that it was in order to establish an alliance with Abraham and with his tribe, the wealthy and powerful chief who moved through his marriage into his territory. In chapter 14, we can see Abraham is going to fight with 318 individual soldiers that belong to him to find his nephew Lot, who was caught during the war there. When these things happened just before Abraham came down to Egypt, Abraham was already going down to Egypt, indeed, right? Not as an individual, but as going as a tribe, including his guardians and his soldiers. In order to save his tribe because of famine, Abraham went down there with a great task as a representative, as a leader of his tribe, his family. So it seems obviously the Egyptian, the authorities, he wanted to make an alliance with him. In ancient time, the way to do so is having a strategy, the marriage. So again, moving to Egypt, it wasn't moving a family, but it was actually indeed movement of a tribe. So when Abraham introduced Sarah, or told the Egyptian authority, Sarah is not more like my sister. Later, God didn't tell Abraham off at all about what he did. So based on this, Abraham's action and his behavior was really still in line with God's value. Even though it wasn't ideal choice, God indeed intervened to show the truth to the Egyptian authority directly. So look at Sarah. And Abraham's father was the same. It was a half-sister, but the mother was different. So again, when Abraham went to Egypt, he called Sarah Egypt as a tribal chief, who's responsible not only for himself, but for the survival of the people, his own people, who lived together. So it would have been seen as one of the controversial forces of power with the king of Egypt. Because what Abraham did, it seemed like an act of a reproach to God. God didn't say anything different about these things. After that, there was no telling of or no advice about what he did. So we have to look more interested in it. Abraham was leaving Canaan, going to Egypt, about telling Polygam, my wife. Why didn't God mention anything about it? So if you meditate well about this story, we'll know how God worked. So God didn't predestine Abraham's life. He doesn't control Abraham. He didn't control Abraham like a robot. As God trusted Abraham, Abraham lived faithfully. Also made his own choice. As long as it didn't conflict with the holy or the heavenly value. But God is looking for the faithful people, but he doesn't control didn't drive them to do what God wants to do. It wasn't God who has decided the fate of the journey of their such a person. God sent Abraham from Haran to Canaan, but God didn't tell Abraham there would be a famine there. So Abraham's family didn't say anything when he left the land of Canaan that God had led him down to Egypt. So God didn't say, did not even say a word about Abraham's wife. Just as Abraham was freeing himself and overcoming the circumstances and the hard, awkward situation that came upon him, God was watching it. God did not say anything. So what I'm saying here is, it's interference. God is not God interfering in our lives in every single moment to drive, also to control us, but God leading us to come to the Word of God, to know His heart, His mind, and who He is. He wants us to know who He is, also make Him known to people around us. It is the God who encourages and blesses the life that lives according to the value of the Word of God. That's how God leads, wants to lead us to a particular place, to sit down and to listen to His voice, to read the Word of God. That's what I want to do in our church. When you look at even the great model of faith, Abraham's life, it didn't go on the way that the God has planned. Abraham had the first son earlier than Isaac, the promised son. Ishmael was born way before Isaac through Abraham's concubine, Hagar. It is not that God has already scripted the life of a person. The apple tree has been determined to bear only the fruit of the apple. But a human, we have freedom of choice for those because we have a free will. For example, He is not setting up a bride for us or bridegroom for us for the future. So we, it's up to us to go and to find who we like, who we love. In prayer, we should meet people and look for people actively rather than praying in the room to seek the future bride or bridegroom. So it is a perfect way to find our own tomorrow that is completely set in the future. If we use God in that way to tell us what's predetermined in the near future, it is no different from the fate of people in the general world who go to fortune teller to get what they want to get, to know what's going to happen in the future. But the sad thing is, it happens quite often even inside the church. Many people may use God in that way, for the same reason as secular people who go to a fortune teller. That's why I always recommend or want to reinforce everyone to read the Word of God, to know His characteristics, to know the way He works through our life. It's people's nature. You want to know what's going to happen. We want to know our destiny, even if it takes a lot of money to pay off. But God doesn't tell us the predestined future. God allowed us to have free will to choose our own future. But He wants, He's dying to seek people who are willing to listen to His voice, to make a choice using their free will according to the Word of God. So God is constantly seeking who has a great faith, pure faith in Him, or have who's able to maintain a relationship, such a deep relationship with Him. He's great mission is carried through those obedient people. God does not tell us what life, what kind of life we should choose, but He has set out that He wants us to choose life and its value according to the value God has set up. But the decision is up to us because, again, we have free will given from God. So wherever we go, we help our chosen life. He wants to make a blessed life in whatever we choose, whatever we do. But the way he works is not about controlling, driving us to somewhere, to do something. Unless our choice is turn away from the will of God and go to the path of death according to our own stubbornness, our sinful nature. God does not say anything about the way the person with free will chooses and goes. If the choice is wrong, we will take the responsibility or the consequence that we can take responsibility. But the matter of sin, there's no way we can take responsibility. The only consequence is death. That's why God came here by himself to restore the relationship with us, to bring back us back to the way of life. See the example of Abraham. When Abraham chose the way to introduce his wife to the Egyptians, it was obviously a difficult situation. God didn't reprove Abraham having plagued Egypt and the Pharaoh to take advantage of his crisis of Abraham wanting to make alliance with a strong tribe. He got the situation right. Abraham wanted to avoid the famine in Egypt, obviously the Egyptian, using the unfavorable situation of Abraham. The Egyptians wanted to use Abraham and Sarah and their family and tribe as part of their own power, the political power to keep Abraham alive. That's what happened. Abraham didn't go to Egypt to escape the difficulty of the land of Canaan, the difficulty from the famine. He didn't escape the land that God sent, where God sent to. He didn't want to live a comfortable life there in Egypt. He went there to save his tribe. He went there as a representative, a chief, a leader of his tribe, to get food for his tribe and his members. As a person responsible for family, we need to determine ourselves, we will go to the place and willing to take the hard circumstance if it's for our family. So Abraham returned to Canaan because of the unfortunate things happening. Obviously Abraham was tempted to see the convenience of the developed society of Egypt. But he didn't get tempted. He went back to where his tribe lived, where he got sent to him. Many people talked as if Abraham had gone down to Egypt, as if to disobey him. The evidence is that in the Bible, God does not tell Abraham about his this behavior. Rather, when Abraham fell into trouble, God gave the hand of salvation an opportunity to reverse the crisis. So God is not the person who programs the fate of the future of people and makes them alive. God is the one who accompanies and helps those who follow the value of the Word of God, purely by faith in our God. God always dreams when there are people who know God's true heart, walk with God, and live in His light, and hence as a light and salt, to make God known in this world. Through the crisis that Abraham met in Egypt, through the opportunity of God's help, rather than the reverse happened. The property, most of the time, it was cattle. So many and uncountable cattle Abraham belonged to Abraham. Because the shepherd, so much property, he suggested to his nephew Lot to be separated because their servants started to argue. Because the belongings are getting bigger and greater. But they were in conflict. So they decided to divide land and live separately, not to have any further conflict. At that time, Abraham was a great father and a senior, this part, he asked his nephew Lot to go to ask first where he wants to go. The nephew Lot wasn't interested in God's heart. He chose Sodom and Gomorrah, where it seemed to be very prosperous and grassy. So in the end, Abraham, with his own choice, he went to somewhat desolate land. But when they were divided, God appeared to Abraham, who still lived in the heart of God. God told Abraham, "My trustful, faithful servant," and made a covenant with him. So God delightfully made a covenant with Abraham and said, "Lift up your eyes and look at the north and south and the east and west, for where you are. I'll give you and your descendants the land that is visible. I'll make it like the dust of the earth, and if a man can count the dust of the earth, your descendants will be numbered. Arise and go around the land with servants and servants, and I'll give it to you." Abraham did not specifically ask God for this, but God allowed him to have that because of his pure faith and full trust he had in God. And God decided to use him and his descendants to carry his redemption plan. The true blessing is having good relationship with God and accompany God, living with him. That's what Abraham did. So God surely called Abraham from the land of Haran in Mesopotamia to the land of Canaan. Did not lead him like a machine with a detailed plan for Abraham living in it. Abraham's personality with free will was respected and fully considered, and Abraham chose using his will. So God was delighted when he saw Abraham's life living according to the will of God. So let's learn from Abraham and from his life. When we make a mistake, let's fix it. When we fail, we can hope that God can restore. Okay, God can do the restoration work. Let's learn the true faith of Abraham. I pray for you to be a God's dreamers, the carrier of God's plan. Amen.